It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We're back here on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hockensmith and Greg Pickle. Looking now at National Signing Day, Penn State's 2018 recruiting class. We touched on a couple of these things in the previous segment. You can check it out at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com if you missed it. Mainly Rashid Walker, and I want to talk about him a little bit more because getting him on the last day is significant. Yep. So what they end up here is the top five class in the country. 23 commits, Greg. And I think maybe it was just faulty thinking on our part. I think we were looking at 25 the whole way through. Yeah. And I think that maybe our number was off. That's the only thing I can think here.
Well, I would say that is probably part of it. And the other thing, too, is that, you know, if they get Solomon Enos, then they have 24. And there were some guys that I think they probably – I mean, you always expect James Franklin to go get somebody late. Daylon Darien, Brennan Thrift. I mean, there's all three Castro Fields at the end of last year, Rashid Walker at the end of this year. I mean, there's usually a couple guys that either get offers and end up committing or are guys that are deciding late in the game. For Penn State this year, they went one of two with the guys deciding late in the game. They didn't offer anybody else. So I think it makes sense. I think if there were two more guys who wanted to commit, I think they could have found a way to squeeze them in. But having said that, I think that it makes sense for them to not put any other offers out to, you know, take 23. They're still, I think, over where they're at to be, have to be for the 85, but that'll take care of itself. Mm-hmm. But I do think, Dustin, that, you know, 2 years ago, we said, oh, the class has to be small because there's not that many spots left. They end up signing close to 25. This past year, you know, we thought the class would be 18 to 20. Then it was maybe 20 to 24. Then, you know, then we're talking about 25. And I just think that 2019 to class, it's finally, they have to keep it small because they don't have another choice. So I do think that it'll be interesting to see how that plays out, because they have a lot of offers out there to big name kids, but I don't think they're going to be able to take all the kids that they want to take. But keeping focused on the 2018 class, yeah, it looked like at one point they could and would take 25, but the fact they only took 23 does make sense.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting, the group of guys that you mentioned there, the Daylon Darians, the Brennan Thrifts,
yep,
that's one category that's the plan B and plan C type category. The other category is back-to-back now, you have had Plan A guys pick your team.
Right.
Tariq Castro-Fields, and you saw that. You saw his impact as a freshman. It was a huge landing. And I really think in the end, Corey Bowles is going to prove to be a pretty big National Signing Day 2017 get as well.
Yep.
So the second year in a row,
yeah, absolutely,
with Rashid Walker picking Penn State on National Signing Day.
Yep.
Boy, I think that this is what big-time programs do, is they get guys late in the game. Some of the best players are the ones who are going to sign on signing day and make their announcements. Penn State has thrown its hat into the ring and really to good results the last two signing days.
Absolutely. And I think the thing that really sticks out to me, Dustin, is that look at the programs that make these big splashes on signing day. Look at this school. Like, USC got a couple big name commits. Alabama got a couple big name commits. It's not to say that if you're in the college football playoff conversation, you're probably in the conversation to land a couple guys on signing day. You don't have to be, but you probably are. And Penn State wasn't involved in that conversation for quite some time for the most part. I mean, they're just the guys that waited and did the TV announcements, this, that, and the other thing, and guys that signed on signing day. I mean, they just weren't in those conversations. The last few years they have been, and they're going to continue to be. Of course, it'll slide to December more so than it is February. But keep in mind, now that we have two signing periods, Penn State also got Micah Parsons on signing day this year. So, I mean, for the most part, they have made their splashes count. They have made their recruiting efforts work, and they are getting more and more talent into this program. That, again, the best rated recruiting class, I guess, what, they finished top five? I guess they moved to fifth when
USC made the jump. USC charged late. Otherwise, and we talked about the
potential for that.
The potential for USC was just one of the programs that had it. And what USC ended up doing, I think they had four or five
It was a big day for them, yeah.
And I think two of them were five stars. Mm-hmm. So USC made a real hard push, and they finished there. And you know, it's a mix of quantity and quality. Usually, you know, if you have a bunch of really good kids and you have 25,
right,
it's easier to surge up the rankings. USC only had 18 commits. So you can see there the bang for the buck that they got.
Right. I mean, Clemson right behind Penn State was 17. Alabama had 19. So, you know, if you're making your class count, you're going to find your way into the top 10. For Penn State, they did a little bit of both. They were able to obviously have the 23 signees. But, Dustin, they also had a star rating, an average star rating, that is among the best in the country. I'm not sure if it exactly would fit into
the
top 10.
The best in Penn State
10,
history.
But absolutely, yep. For Penn State, no question about it.
And that number, I like to say this often, that number, I'm pretty sure from one year to the next, has risen.
Oh, no question.
Just a steady rise up. We'll see what 2019 has in store, and I'm sure we'll talk about that a little bit later in the week. Rasheed Walker, four stars from Maryland, 6'6", 300 pounds. James Franklin was really talking about, you know, what we mentioned earlier is that it's hard to find an offensive tackle prospect who is both who has the size, the athleticism to move in space,
yep,
the ability, the desire to be physical and nasty up front. And it's hard to find somebody with all those tools. Penn State has found guys with some or most of those tools before. I think Walker is the first that has all those tools locked up right now. It's not a guarantee for anything, but certainly when you don't have to project him or forecast him to change his body 100% or to add 25 pounds or to improve his foot quickness or anything like that, he comes as a pretty complete package now.
Yep.
And for that reason, not to mention Penn State holding off Ohio State late, they wanted Rasheed Walker bad, and Penn State managed to keep fighting them off. I think there's a lot of significance here for Penn State to get this final commit.
I completely agree. Just to go back to the star rating thing quick, James Franklin got to Penn State, it was 88 and change, and that was pretty much what it's been throughout his tenure. Sorry, 86 and change is what it was in year one. Moved up to 88, pretty much stuck there. They had an 89 one year. This year, the average star rating is 91. So, you know, again, you can say that the rankings don't matter and all that.
And you'd be wrong.
Right, but if you look at it that way, that's you know, it is what it is. But the fact that Penn State just keeps moving up the ranks like this, Dustin, just tells you how much better the roster is as a whole. We've talked about the blue chip factor with Bill Connolly from SB Nation and how that when you have more 4 and 5 stars and 3 and 4 stars, your team usually is in the playoff hunt, which sounds so basic, but it's true. And Penn State finally is in that conversation. Rasheed Walker and guys like him are one of the reasons why. I think that Penn State really fought off Ohio State in the end, and it was a battle. There's no question about that. And I think for the kid to make the decision, it was a battle. It was very hard for him to pick between Ohio State and Penn State. But at the end of the day, Penn State gets Tyler Bowen, the former Maryland offensive line coach and recruiter, and he, you know, is able to come in, sell Penn State now. Matt Limegrover had a great relationship with him. All the coaches on the offense had a great relationship with him, James Franklin and his family. And at the end of the day, sometimes, you know, when it comes down to two schools like that, you're really splitting hairs to make your decision. But we talked about in June that we thought he was going to be a Penn State commit. And so I think Penn State's lead throughout his recruitment is the reason why he ended up picking Penn State in the end.
This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, talking some Penn State 2018 recruiting. Looking back one more time with our conclusions on the 2018 class, Walker signing late really gives Penn State two high upside offensive tackles. And that's one of the themes in this class that that I'll remember as those guys. And it's two guys who are maybe a little different stages of their development too. So staggering the timing that Nana Asidu, which I have to assume that he'll be available a little bit later than Rasheed Walker. That's my assumption considering he's 265 pounds right now.
Right.
But I would make the argument it's the two best offensive tackles in the James Franklin era in the same class.
No.
Pure offensive tackles.
Yeah, I don't.
It could be offensive line. I don't know. The best 1-2 punch maybe of offensive linemen too.
Right, yeah. No, I completely agree with you. I mean, it's always easy to sit here and project it now and then wait and see how it plays out, but they just seem like surefire. Like when Ryan Bates was a recruit, you knew that he was going to be eventually a guy that started and played really at a high level and all Big Ten level, if not greater than that. These two guys are the exact same way, Dustin. You just think that they're going to come in and they might need a year to get ready. But as soon as they do, they're going to be great. They're going to be absolutely fantastic at what they do. So I just think that both of these guys anchor the line for you moving forward. And Penn State, over the years, they just haven't had it. I mean, they've had a couple guys, but between health and some other things, they just have not had two guys to anchor left and right tackle. Now you have Will Fries and Ryan Bates. Do one of these guys give you the option to move Bates back inside? Is that something they want to consider doing? I don't know, but you now have options, which is James Franklin has not had options along the offensive line over his first 4 years. He just hasn't. He's had nothing but basically, let's pick our best five, put it out there. They may not be the greatest five, but let's hope it works out. They've won back-to-back 11-win seasons and, you know, win the Fiesta Bowl. So, obviously, it's not the worst thing in the world. But the more talent you have there, the better. And they certainly have probably the best that they've had under him at this point in time.
And they're prototypical offensive tackles. You've had more success moving guys to tackle than you've had developing right. Your own tackles.
Agreed.
And that is a chance to change. One other thing here, James Franklin said on signing day, you can do the math here. He said he wanted another wide receiver and another safety.
Yeah.
You can do the math and say Solomon Enos
yep.
and Isheem Young.
Right.
If things go well there, or you can say Shaquan Anderson Butts, who ended up going the JUCO route, who says he wants to come back to Penn State. But if some of these things worked out for the better, he wouldn't have been left wanting there.
Right. No, exactly. And, you know, to answer the Isheem Young question, because many people have asked what would happen if he was cleared of everything, if all the charges were dropped and things like that, the legal case ended. I don't know. I mean, I think it would be very hard for Penn State to, I think it'd be very hard for Penn State to take him. I think, you know, it just even if everything, you know, went away, everything that happened still happened. So, allegedly happened. So I don't know. It would be interesting to me to see how that would play out. The kid's a great football player. I mean, he is, but obviously the off-field stuff is the off-field stuff. So we'd have to wait and see. And it would be hard, I think, too, for Penn State to take him at this point. Obviously, I don't think he could sign, so I'm not sure how that would even work. But to me, if Isheem Young is able to get back on the football field, probably a postgraduate year or JUCO year, something like that, and then he goes to college, whether it's at Penn State or somewhere else.
I'd be stunned if he didn't end up at a JUCO or something like that right. for a year. The other part of this class that I think you got to look at is the playmakers involved, the 1-2 punch at tight end. The three wide receivers, Justin Shorter, Daniel George, Jahan Dotson, who all bring something a little different to the table. They're different
yep.
size, speed, packages. Jahan Dotson looks like a slot guy. And then Ricky Slade, super dynamic as a running back, too. This is a really extraordinary class of playmakers, too.
It is. I mean, goodness, you look at what those guys are able to do. You could see two of them play right away. I mean, they're just that much talent. I mean, Justin Shorter is obviously the headline of it, but
Don't forget Daniel George.
Everyone forgets Daniel George because he's been signed for so long, but he could be a guy that plays from day one, too. I don't see any reason why he couldn't. He's the guy that people are going to look back on in this class, to, in my mind, and say, whoa, why did we not talk as much about him? He's going to be really good.
We're moving on here on the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're sticking with National Signing Day. We're going to look at the Big Ten and national. We mentioned USC is one of those programs that surged late. We'll talk about them more right after this.
This is Andy Shea from the Keystone Sports Network. You heard us talk about 409 tailgate sauce for a while now. Honesty moment. I use 409 tailgate sauce at my house, and it's a hit with my family and friends. My barbecue chicken always comes out great. The sauce also works on pork, beef. You can even put it on your burgers. Go to 409tailgateclub.com to order 409 tailgate sauce for you or that tailgater in your life. And remember, always tailgate with honor.
You trust AAA to work at every mile. But AAA doesn't just cover your car. They can also cover your home. AAA Home Insurance protects every square foot. And when you add AAA Home Insurance to AAA Auto Insurance, you get more protection and more savings. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent today or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA Home Insurance.
The harsh rain and wind ahead will be very tough on your roof. Prepare for the season by showing your roof you give a shingle and call Long Roofing. That's Long, L-O-N-G, the name that's been trusted by families across the Mid-Atlantic region for more than 70 years. Right now, you will get free gutters with your roof replacement from our friends at Long Roofing. Give them a call today for a free estimate on your roof at 844-405-LONG. That's 844-405-L-O-N-G.